Now, God began to speak to me, as I shared with you last week, and before the first of the year, began to talk to me about 2023, and began to share with me that there was some things that he needed us to look at, things that we needed to literally address. And as God was unfolding this to me, he unfolded to me a six-part series, which we will do in the first four parts, and then there will be a weekend break between, and then I will finish off parts five and six. But what I need to tell you is this part one and today's message, part two, are absolutely linked together. I can't wait till next Sunday because I'm going to preach about defiant joy. You don't want to miss that. And that's going to be tied to part four. Three and four are tied together, then five and six are tied together. Now, I was in John chapter 14, and I was meditating on and rehearsing Jesus' words to the disciples as he was reminding them that he was going to be leaving. He was reminding them that they needed to get ready because he was going to be leaving to prepare a place for them. He's going to prepare this awesome place, this home for them. And I began to meditate and begin to research in my spirit again all the scriptures concerning heaven. I love what Billy Graham said many, many years ago. He said that my true home is heaven. I'm just passing through. Let me share this once again as I am going to rehearse this throughout the whole year, off and on, as God instructed me concerning heaven. The roof that you live under is not your home. The city you live in is not your home. The roof is temporary and the city will pass away. Your true home is heaven. And if 58 books of this Bible out of 66 talk about heaven, should we not be paying attention to what the Bible says about heaven? And it was in this time that the Holy Spirit just broke through. And he began to speak a word to me from God concerning heaven and then began to unfold the six-part series. Now I'm going to read to you from my journal what God said, just like I did last week, and you just need to prepare that throughout the year, I'm going to remind us of what God said about heaven. My church has forgotten about its true home. They have become so consumed with earthly life, heaven is a fleeting thought. In 2023, remind my church, who's the church? That's you and I. Remind the church of the home my son is preparing for them. And he said, Corey, this is important. And I pinned that. Corey, this is important. If God says it's important, don't you think that all of us need to take some time and get back in the Bible and remind ourselves of our true home? Well, Pastor, would you give me all the scriptures? No. That's part of it. It's going and for yourself. Learn about your home. And we've got to get into heaven. I was standing in Turning Point Church Wednesday night preaching part one of this series. And when I was covering this part, nobody heard it, nobody saw it, nobody felt it but me. As I began to step into this about heaven and the sermon, I felt the presence of God just fall all around me in a very heavy way. I told Rochelle after the service, I said, it's been a long time since I felt the anointing so heavy. And what the heaviness of that anointing was, God was saying to me when it fell and I felt it and I continued to speak as it was happening, God said, I am reminding you once again to remind my church about their true home. And he told me, he said, I told you I have a message for the church. I never thought that he'd have me in another church immediately right after Sunday morning preaching in another church. I received a phone call that day and said, can you preach tonight? And I said, yes, I have a word from God. God is going to speak over these 6 weeks, and I'm asking you to have an ear to hear for yourself what God is saying. I shared this pin truth last week. Jesus doesn't just prepare a home for us in heaven. He wants to prepare His home in us so He can provide what the world cannot offer. The question I asked was the two of them, are we letting Him? We need to ask that question, are we really letting Him? And are we robbing ourselves of God doing the amazing right here, right now? Because we're not letting Him build His home completely and fully in our lives because we want to have control. Are we allowing Him to build His life in us the way He wants it? Because while He's away, Jesus, preparing this amazing home for us, God wants to right now give to us an amazing future right here, right now. And we have to ask the question, are we letting Him build His home in us? So He spoke to me, the Holy Spirit said, the Father wants you to communicate with the church that there are some things that the church needs to clean up in 2023. Now, what I said last Sunday about the Cowboys fit very well. They needed to clean some things up. They needed to not be so sloppy in their play. And I got a big amen from Colin in the back. Then they played, not sloppy. They cleaned things up. And so it didn't have the same impact on Wednesday night when I shared it with them. But they still thought it was, they're still wondering if that's going to happen this week, tonight, you know. But what the Lord spoke to me was the church needs to clean some things up. Now, I'm going to be raw with you again today as I was last week, that when you defined out cleanup, and as I've said before, God may not talk to you this way, but He talks to me this way because He knows how to get my attention. And the word cleanup also means sloppy. And so what God began to speak to me was, you got to clean up some things in your walk and stop living a sloppy Christian life. I like to put it this way, stop living a sloppy gospel life. And so as God began to speak that to me, I didn't get all down and go, get braced for it. No, I got excited because I realized that God was going to talk to me about some things so that I could have the amazing right here, right now. You got to quit letting the enemy beat you down when God is trying to build you up, but He needs you to change some things so that He can give you the amazing right here, right now. Instead of getting down about it, get excited about it. Didn't get but one amen out of that. And the very first thing was that we needed to clean up is that we must let go of control. We still have a control problem. We want to control things. We want to control people. We want to control our life. We want to control our destiny. We want to grab words from here and there and the other and build this thing and try to control how this is all going to happen. We have to let go of control. And I shared with you what Andrew Murray said, that we have to be a base and empty for the glory of God to come in and fill us. So we did the math. A base plus empty means I'm going to have the glory of God filled in my life. We all want the glory of God filled in our life, but we want it a certain way. And God says it's going to happen when you empty yourself and you humble yourself. I'm going to fill you up and you're going to do some amazing things. And I couldn't think of anything in my own heart until the Holy Spirit confirmed it, that the best way to live a humbled life, a life that is not in control, is to live a crucified life. That was part one. We have to live a crucified life. I'm only going to make one statement from that message, and then if you didn't hear it, you need to go hear it. Why, Pastor? Because God said this was a message to the church, and if God opened a door suddenly for me to go speak in another church, then it is an important message. It's just the truth. It's an important message to the church. Living the crucified life means we must sacrifice our own will daily to His will. Now, as I told some friends of ours at this other church, I said, you need to buckle up, buckaroos. They thought that was so funny, and he came wearing his boots just because I said that. Part one is connected to part two, and part two is connected to part one. And the second thing God said we need to do is we've got to start living a life of self-examination. Not a life that examines everybody else, not a life that's trying to figure out what you're not doing for me, but a life that says, I need to take a look at me, period. I need to take a look at me. I'm going to share an illustration with you here in a little bit that's going to give you a whole new perspective on the God we serve. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27 says, whoever therefore eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord is in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Now, Jesus, two very important things happened in this time in the upper room to me. Two things that just jump off the pages is one, when he washed their feet, giving us the full model and an example of what we're supposed to do, and that is we are to serve others, not be served. And then he makes this statement about you need to address and check yourself before you take the communion. Now, what I love is every time Ralph takes up the communion, he reminds us that we need to take a moment and make sure that our heart is right. Now, we're talking about self-examination. What Ralph is saying to us and what Jesus was saying to them is you need to take a moment and you need to have some self-examination before you take of the body and the blood. Now, let me give you just what if. What if, just what if that all of us in this room wouldn't have to do it every time, but what if you had this sitting in the chair that you're going to sit in or somewhere where you can see it when you go to your devotional time, that this cup is sitting there as a reminder to you that I need to do a self-examination before I begin my day. You're not going to find something every time, but what if? God wants to reveal something to you so that you can address it so He can move in a more powerful way in your life and you can begin to see the amazing happen right here, right now. Here's where I come from. You do whatever you have to do, whatever's necessary to make sure that you're doing self-examination. What if this will help you remember to do that every day? And Ralph, thank you for bringing that up every time. So many people want to just go right past that because people don't want to examine. I've said this before, we're not a secret-friendly church. We're going to preach the gospel, the whole gospel, and the whole truth of the gospel. And part of the gospel of Jesus Christ is, He said, examine yourself. That's part of it. What if we took this cup to remind us to do self-examination? I love what Job said, and I'm going to read it out, two translations. Job 13, 23. How many are my iniquities and my sins? Make me know my transgressions and my sin. This is a verse on self-examination. It takes courage sometimes to get ready for what's coming. Examine me, God. Reveal in me what I'm doing that's not right. Instead of coming to prayer and going, God, let me have a conversation with you about what everybody else is not doing right. What about what I'm not doing? Because, you know, when I get into a good place, it's amazing that when things start happening, it doesn't bother me. And they don't bother me either when they're doing stuff. You with me? Self-examination. Does it mean, and if I never do that, God can never use me? No, He'll use you. But let me make this strong statement of truth. If you don't, it will continue to hinder you and make it harder. Oh, you're going to do stuff and God's going to use you, but it could be much, much better. And you can have the amazing right here, right now, instead of next year. That's what I want. I'm hungry. I don't know about you. I'm hungry. I never enter a year where I'm satisfied with my relationship with Jesus. I want more. Job 13, 23, again, another translation. Tell me what I have done wrong. I know that's just right on the tip of all your lips every morning. Tell me what I've done wrong. No, we're like, God, how are you going to bless me? Well, tell me what's going on. Be honest. Let's get down to what you're doing wrong. And, man, I got all kinds of cool stuff for you. You mean you're never going to do that cool stuff for me? Oh, yeah, but it's going to be delayed because you just won't. Did you know your Father hates delays? He wants to give it to you right now. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 40 says, let us search out and examine our own ways, not someone else's. Now, I'm going to meddle because I love you. Don't be talking to other people about other people you think they ought to be doing until you've started doing that for yourself. And you're doing it consistently to where you know God's moving you where you need to go. Well, if I don't do that, God won't use me. No, God will use you, but it just is going to be harder. Anybody with me? It's just going to be harder. And the things you desire might get delayed. Self-examination is not always easy. It's not an easy process at all. Hey, crucifying ourselves, living a crucified life is not always easy. It's not a simple process. But let me make this statement about both of them. Living the crucified life, living a life of self-examination, is what the church must do. It's what the church must do. I have a heart to see the world changed through a powerful church. Amen. 1 Corinthians 11:31 says, but if we evaluate and judge ourselves honestly, recognizing our shortcomings and correcting our behavior, we would not be judged. Consistent self-examination is essential to two things. I've watched this closely in ministry for a very long time and for a long time as a Christian. I have watched this. Two things. It's essential for your growth and your stability in your walk with God. Stability. So you're not riding the roller coaster ride, doing things for God, and it's just, you're doing it, and there's success, and there's some fulfillment, but it's just, man, this is hard. Anybody been there? Self-examination will clear a lot of that up. And a lot of things that you're believing God for could just suddenly, amazingly, right here, right now, start happening. That's God's word to us. He wants to bring the amazing. While His Son Jesus is preparing an amazing home for us, He wants to prepare an amazing right here, right now for us. Oh, I can't wait to get to Defiant Joy. That's going to be an awesome message. Now, I'm going to share with you some critical steps to take in self-examination with the Holy Spirit. Catch that? With the Holy Spirit. With Him. Number one, confess our faults and sins. If you define that, it means to tell, make known, or admit. Sometimes we just won't admit everything. We'll admit up to a point, and then we want God to take a look at what someone else is doing. No, we have to fully admit where we're at. You may say, well, I don't have a problem admitting it. But is the problem changing from it? There's a process we can take, and change will come. So it begins with, we confess our faults and sins. To who? God. We confess it. We admit it in its fullest sense. Like I did when I was under that trailer. And I said, I don't know how you're going to fix this mess, but I'm going to give it to you to fix it. And I began to call off the mess and began to confess my mess to God. And He cleaned it up. Confession's amazing. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, listen, it's a promise. If I confess my sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Tomorrow? No. Right there, right now, immediately, you will experience the amazing forgiveness of Jesus. And be changed. And now things get easier. I love God. How about you? Number two is repent and walk away. I've given you my personal definition of repent, and theologians have backed me up. It means to turn your back and go the other direction and don't go that way anymore. That's repenting. It's walking away. Repent and walk away. We have to repent. We confess. We repent. And repentance means turn from and dedicate oneself to the correction of oneself. Father, if you'll get them to repentance, I'll help them correct their life. And the Father's been speaking to you for 3 days going, you know what? If I could get you to do that, we'd be in good shape. Well, you mean I can never help them? I didn't say you couldn't help them, but it'd be a whole lot easier to help them. Anybody catching what I'm saying here? It's not that God won't use you. Would you like for it to have the glory and the power of God behind it when you're doing it? I would. It's a struggle sometimes. And I start looking inwardly, and why is this such a struggle? Matthew 3:8 says, bring forth fruit that is consistent with repentance. In parentheses, I love what Amplified does here. Let your lives prove your change of heart. Remember what Andrew Murray said, talked about how water runs down into the lowest part when it's empty, when it's abase. And the word abase means humility. If we want to see God's glory fill us up, a big part of that is it's not enough just to confess. It's not enough to say, well, I repented. We need to show that I've repented. Anybody get that? What's the fruit of my repentance? What's the fruit of it? Because if it's true repentance, get ready. His glory is going to fill you up. Third, number three is, the next step is forgiveness. Forgiveness is a term to indicate pardon for a fault. In Psalms 32:5, it says, I acknowledge my sin to you. I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. In no way, shape, form, or fashion have I indicated that God can't use your life and that He won't use your life. He will use your life every time you make yourself available. What God is wanting us to do is to clean some things up so that He can drop the amazing right here, right now, and not later. Anybody with me? So that it's easier and we can see more fruit. Who would like to see more fruit? I would. And there's ways to get there. But here's the God we serve. He's not up here with His own personal Bible, looking down and going, Smithy? Sounds like my sister-in-law. That's what she says when she's mad at Roy. Smithy? Remember the cup I gave you today, right? Yeah. Anything you say and do will be used against you from the pulpit, from the pastor. Okay. Smithy? God says, Smithy? Boy, you need to, come on now. I mean, no. Here's the God I serve. Oh, He's in His prayer room. Corey, you can do this. Come on now. That's it. Go ahead, sit down. I know. You're feeling something. Oh, good, good, good. Open your Bible. That's it. Yeah. Three pages over. That a boy. Yeah, right there. Read that chapter. Holy Spirit, help him. That's it. Now read the next chapter. Oh, now you're getting it. Now you're getting it. Now ask the Holy Spirit to reveal revelation of that to you. What it is I'm needing you to do. What you're needing to correct. What you're needing to clean up. That's it. Attaboy. Yeah, pin it. Write it down. Yeah, there you go. Awesome. I hear you. I hear your confession. Oh, come on, come on, come on. Yes, come on, come on. Yeah, there it is. Yeah, get it out. Be honest. Oh, I love this. Did you see what my son's doing? He's so awesome. Hey, now, you know what to do next. Don't walk. There you go. Yeah, I hear your words of repentance. You're forgiven. Woo! That's my son. Now stand up and go do some cool stuff. I got some cool stuff for you to do. That's your God. We need to trust Him. And we need to do way more self-examination. Are we going to allow the devil to rob us of an amazing future right here and right now because we won't walk those things out with self-examination? Yeah, but. One of my favorite authors, I'm going to read in a moment, said, I'll read one quote, but another quote, said, you know, it's time that the church quit making excuses and in evading the truth the gospel is trying to set us free from. Why? Because God wants to change the world through you. Amen? Stop telling yourself, I cannot be different, and that can't go away. I just got too many hang-ups. I tell you what, just get in the room with God and the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to tell you what, the hang-ups will dissolve. And you'll have more freedom to do what God's called you to do. Not that you're not doing stuff for Him, and not that you're not trying to walk out your calling, but would you like to have the amazing right here, right now, in the middle of your calling? I would. Pen truth, self-examination, rightly pursued, will bring significant benefits to your Christian life. Guess what those benefits are? More joy, more gladness, more peace, more calm, and more fruit. All of that He will do. Are we going to live a crucified life? And a part of that crucified life is living a life of self-examination. It's important. A.W. Tozer said this, one of my favorite authors. A Pharisee is hard on others and easy on himself. But a spiritual man is easy on others and hard on himself. And if you read why he made that statement, he was addressing self-examination. It's best that we start here. Amen? Well, I guess after I do that, Pastor, then I can jump to the other person? No. No. It's not a pathway to the wrong way. And let me just drill down for a moment as we begin to, here in a few moments, we'll be closing. Psalms 139, 24 says, "And see if there be any hurtful way in me." Here's the way I read that verse of Scripture. When I am doing self-examination, that's one of my primary scriptures. Father, what is in me that is hurtful not only to me, but is hurtful to others? That I justify and cover up because I have things I want. I ask those questions. Because I would desire more of Him. How about you? And see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. Let me give you two guidelines for self-examination. One, you have to be intentional. Two, you've got to be specific in what you're communicating to God. When I talk about being intentional, you need to have a place where you meet with God. You need to make an appointment with God. You've heard me talk about this for a long, long time. But you need to make an appointment with God. It needs to be a consistent time with God. It needs to be in a place where you can be alone. You need to have your Bible with you. Very important that you have your Bible with you. You need to have a pen or pencil, whatever you like to use, a journal, or at least a piece of paper. And then you need to expect that God is going to speak to you about some things in your life. and he's going to speak them to you so that you can bring those to him and be totally free. Amen? It is a joy to be in my prayer chair when I'm experiencing deliverance from something. It's fun. Because it's kind of like I get out of the chair and I'm kind of like, look out, devil. That ain't on me anymore. I wonder what God's going to do today. We have to have a place and allow God, and I use the word expect God, to show you some things you need to address. Today, not tomorrow. When he reveals it, go, well, God, you ran out of time. I got to leave now. No. You stay. And you do what you need to do because God is preparing an amazing future for you right here, right now. And you've got to ask the Holy Spirit to open your eyes to what's really going on in your life. Most of us could say, I know what's going on. Actually, no, we don't. We do know what's going on, but we don't see it from the perspective of the Holy Spirit. And we need to see it from His perspective so that we can see all of it. And then we can walk through confession. We can walk through the repentance. We can immediately receive instant forgiveness. And then we begin to watch doors open to the amazing happening right here, right now. And it only costs two things. I think it's pretty cheap. I think the cost is great. Live a crucified life and live a life of self-examination. I don't think that's a whole lot for the amount of what we're going to get. Amen. There's some powerful stuff coming to those who will live a crucified life and who will live a life of self-examination. My God is amazing, and I'm telling you, He's standing at the edge. I have felt and sensed that He was leaning in so close, going, you can do this. Come on, Corey, don't walk. No, don't ignore. Come on now. Cheering me on in my self-examination. Now that's an amazing God, isn't it? Because He's got so many cool things for you. Great stuff. I read to you a faith declaration that I penned in this season of time, spending time with God as He began to unfold the 6 sermons. And I began to write. And then I penned this declaration, but that declaration actually will change each week. And so today is the first of those changes. If you want to know the fullness of the first declaration, then you need to go hear the message. Here's the second declaration. Right here, right now, Lord, make your home in my heart. Lord, help me live for you today. I choose to live a crucified and self-examination life each day. I will live this way in expectation that right here, right now, I can have the amazing today. Even as you prepare an amazing future for me. Now, I'm going to ask you to stand. And we're going to make a faith declaration that we're all going to do what God is telling us as a church we need to do, some things we need to clean up. Because I am got high expectations. God promised me He was ramping up. I was going to see more beauty come from ashes than I have ever seen in my life. And I know this is a big part of that. I'm not down feeling like God's pressing on me. I'm feeling super loose and super excited about what God's getting ready to do. Now, declare this for yourself with me. And you're speaking it to yourself, to the enemy, and to your future. So let's make this faith declaration together. Right here, right now, Lord, make your home in my heart. Lord, help me live for you today. Notice today. Today. Let's get that in us. Today, not tomorrow. Today. Every day. Today. I choose to live a crucified and self-examination life each day. I will live this way in expectation that right here, right now, I can have the amazing win today. Not tomorrow, today. Even as you prepare an amazing future home for me. Amen? Father, we just lift our hands and we give you praise and we give you honor and we give you glory today. I thank you, Father, that the captive is being set free right now in Jesus' name. And we're going to live according to your word, and we're going to see the amazing right here, right now, in Jesus' powerful and holy name. Amen. You may be seated.